I am very grateful to all of the assembled devotees, especially my dear God brothers and God sisters, who are casting their merciful glances upon me, and all of us. This very devotional drama that was performed for us depicted a scene that set the mood after which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees would deeply contemplate the striking reality that Lord Chaitanya was soon going to leave Navadvip and assume the ashram of sannyas. Srivasangam was the place that our acharyas have explained to be none different than the Rasastali of Vrindavan, where the same types of loving exchanges that took place in the Rasa Lila were performed and experienced among the devotees as they performed Nam Sankirtan. On that one particular day, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in great happiness, in the mood of Sri Radha, tasting the sweetness of Krishna's holy names, relishing the divine pleasure of being his own devotee, the devotee's happiness was simply Lord Chaitanya's happiness. When he was happy, they were happy. Even if the worst calamities were taking place in their life, if he was happy, that was their happiness. And if he was sad, if he was displeased, then nothing could pacify the hearts of the devotees. This was the nature of their love. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was blissfully dancing and singing in kirtan with his devotees, some crying was heard in one of the other rooms of Srivas's house. Srivas was told, "Please come now." He came into one of the inner rooms, and he found his son laying dead. He had some feverish disease and died that very night. His wife and other family members were weeping. Natural. Srivas Thakur, he told them, "Why are you weeping? Please know that our child has been blessed. He left this world at a time when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was chanting the holy names and dancing in ecstasy among his devotees in our very house. This child has attained the supreme destination, has gone back to Godhead. How fortunate he is. Now, if you're crying, disturbs the happiness of my Lord. Then I will tie a rope around my neck, tie that to a bucket of stones and rocks, and I will jump in the Ganges and end my life. So whatever unhappiness you may feel, keep it very silently in your heart, but do not disturb the kirtan. After saying this, Srivas Thakur went back out into the courtyard, and with a beautiful smile on his face, he danced and danced all night with Lord Chaitanya. Toward the end of the night, as the morning was coming, Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. And he said, I feel in my heart that there is some sadness in this house. Srivas, what is it? Srivas was still smiling, radiantly. He said, my Lord Gauranga, with your beautiful moon-like face, smiling in bliss while you're dancing in my house, there could be nothing but happiness. Then one of the other devotees said, his son died tonight. Lord Chaitanya said, his son died? When did that happen? It happened about 7.5 hours ago. At that time, Lord Chaitanya looked at Srivas Thakur very emotionally. He says, why didn't you say something? Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to cry in front of everybody. How could I possibly give up the association of such a devotee who does not know any sorrow in this world, even to the extent of the death of his own son, just to make me happy? How could I give up such a person's association? He wept incessantly. The devotees were very confused. What does he mean by this? He's dancing and chanting with us all night, every night. He's with Srivas Thakur every day. What could he possibly mean? How will I live without the association? How can I give up his association? It was a great mystery that mysteriously invoked fear in all of the devotees' hearts. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that very soon he would leave Navadvip forever to wander as a sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went into the room where the child was. And to everyone's great surprise, he asked the dead body, why did you leave your father's house? And the little boy sat up and spoke. He said, my Lord, I am your eternal servant. And wherever you send me, that's where I want to be. By the power of destiny and the power of your mercy, I was allowed to live all of these days in the auspicious home of Srivas. But now, by the power of your will, my destiny is to move to another body. Who is my relative? Who is my father? Who is my mother? When the time comes, the soul must depart from the body. Now, my Lord, I beg you, please forgive me for any offenses I may have made, and grant me the boon that wherever you may send me, I may have the association of your devotees. With your permission, I will now go. The child laid down, and his life passed from him. Hearing the child talk, seeing how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had given such special mercy to the child, in the words of the Christian, he rose him from the dead and then sent him to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. The family was in bliss. They had no sorrow in their hearts. They all fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, all the relatives of Srivas. They clung to his lotus feet and said, "My Lord, you are our father, you are our mother, you are our friend, you are our shelter, you are our well-wisher, you are our everything. Please, in whatever birth you put us, whether it's in a human or a demigod or an insect or a bird or an animal, whatever birth we take, let us always have the association of you and your devotees." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Srivas Thakur and said, "Because of your love, your unconditional devotion, Nityananda Prabhu and myself are eternally your sons." Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally led the child with the family on procession to the Ganga to perform the last rites. And after taking their baths, they all went to their homes in very happy mood. One day at the house of Srivas, in the evening, the kirtans were so sweet. Prem Sankirtan. They were the expressions of the devotees' love as they chanted the holy names. One Brahmin, a very arrogant, materialistic person, he heard about Lord Chaitanya's dancing and he wanted to see. He came to Srivas's house, knocked on the door. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in kirtan. They wouldn't let him in because these kirtans were so intimate that only those who had no material desires at all, those who had actually awakened their eternal innate love for God, only such persons could understand the type of transformations that were going on in there. So the Brahmin was not allowed in. He was furious. Because he had a high position, he thought he was entitled to anything. For one who has been honored, dishonored is worse than death. The next day, he was looking for Lord Chaitanya. And he happened to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just coming out from taking his bath in the holy river Ganga. That Brahmin, he was uncontrollably angry. He screamed at Lord Chaitanya. He said, "I went to the house of Srivas to see your dance, and a sinful Brahmin would not allow me to enter." His eyes became red, his lips were trembling. Uncontrollable wrath overcame him like a fire. He took his thumb, wrapped it with his Brahman thread, and snapped, broke his Brahman thread right there, and proclaimed a curse. Because you left me outside of that house, I curse you that you will also be left outside of your house. You will never again enjoy family life. You will lose all material prosperity, all material enjoyment. Lord Chaitanya was perfectly calm, and he smiled and said in a very sweet voice, "This Brahman has given me a very auspicious boon. Thank you very much." When the Lord answered in such a peaceful and calm and totally detached way, the Brahman became very sober. Something came over him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually awakened within his heart a certain knowledge. And he said, "What did I just do? I cursed you. Actually, I didn't curse you. You caused me to make that curse against you. It was your will. Because you are the complete whole. You are the creator of everything within this entire universal creation. It is your desire. You will soon take sannyas. You will leave your home in order to give love of God to the whole world. You have descended into this world to open the treasure house of Krishna prema, love for Krishna, and flood the entire world with it through the congregational chanting of the holy names. You will spread Krishna prema to everyone and anyone, the men and the women and the boys and the girls, no discrimination of caste or religion or no discrimination of any particular material situation a person may in. You're going to give love of God to everyone except me, because I'm so offensive. I cursed you. What is my destiny?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "It was a very good curse. I'm very happy with you. You just follow my instructions." And because that Brahman was so transformed, he was so grateful. He fell with tears in his eyes at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and surrendered his life right then. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up and embraced him. And with that embrace, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put into his heart Lord Chaitanya's own love for God. He impregnated his love into the heart of this Brahman. He attained the ultimate perfection of life. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not want this Brahman's curse to go in vain. Now let us review what was the scene in Navadvip. Lord Gauranga now had countless devotees. At first, he was only performing Nam Kirtan amongst his most intimate associates at Srivas Angam. And there were so many people who were blasphemous of him. There were many, many people in Navadvip who really hated Lord Chaitanya. They were envious of him. They were so proud and arrogant, they couldn't tolerate somebody else getting more respect and honor than themselves. They could not tolerate seeing anybody else more successful in scholarship than themselves. And plus, they were very materialistic, and Lord Chaitanya was teaching pure devotional service, which is very anti-materialistic. So he was a great threat to many. So there were hundreds and thousands of people who were coming to him, who were longing to see him dance. But there were also many who were continuously spreading horrible, nasty rumors against him. They would say, "What is happening here in Srivas's house? We know. We know why they don't let us in. Because we will expose them. Because we are pure in heart." They find beautiful young girls during the day, bring him to Srivas's house at night, give them drugs, perform black tantric rites, and then engage in the most obscene, horrible, sinful acts as they are all intoxicated. And that's why they're screaming and howling all night. This is what they were saying about Lord Chaitanya. And they were spreading these rumors as viciously as possible. Can you imagine if they had internet? They would have been very, very happy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a scholar, he defeated Keshava Kashmiri. He was the top scholar on earth. As a devotee, Advaitacharya, who was the topmost Vaishnava in creation, worshipped Lord Chaitanya. And there was, among, as far as having loving friends, he had Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar, Murari Gupta, Haridas Thakur, Kolavecha Sridhar, such friends. He had everything. The most loving wife, the most loving mother. But he was meditating on those offensive, sinful people who, due to their arrogance, escaped the net of his mercy to give them love of God. So one day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Radha Bhava, he entered into the mood of a gopi. And he was sitting in his home, chanting over and over and over again, "Brindaban, gopi, 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 gopi." With great emotion, he was chanting the names of gopi. And one Brahmin, who at one time was his student, came to Nimai's house. And he happened to see him in a trance. "Gopi, gopi, gopi." He said, "Nimai, what is this gopi, gopi? According to the scripture, it is a pious act to chant the names of Krishna. You will gain all piety by chanting Krishna's names. Nowhere does it talk about chanting gopi, gopi, gopi. This is not correct." Now, first of all, Lord Chaitanya was in ecstasy of love. And second of all, Lord Chaitanya did not believe that you should chant the name of Krishna to get pious results. this Brahmin was saying you get pious results by chanting Krishna's names. He was materialistic. So that did not impress the Lord. But in his ecstasy of the mood of a gopi, he became very angry. He said, "You are telling me to chant the name of Krishna? Why Krishna? It was Krishna who, in Kishkindha Kshetra, he took the side of Sugriva and he, with an arrow, as Ramchandra, he shot Bali in the back. Bali didn't do anything wrong to him, but he killed him. Why Krishna? And Krishna, he's so beautiful. He attracts all women's hearts. And a particular woman's heart, he completely enchanted. And she couldn't resist him. And she approached him. And then he cut off her nose. Suparnaka. And Bali Maharaj surrendered everything he had to Krishna. His body, his mind, his words, his life, everything he surrendered to Krishna. And then Krishna, in return, sent him down to live in hell. Why should I chant Krishna's names? What are you telling me to chant Krishna's names for? Gauranga picked up a stick, stood up, and attacked the Brahmin. And the Brahmin ran away really fast. And Lord Chaitanya chased after him. And the Brahmin was running. And Lord Chaitanya was running. And the devotees came and they caught Lord Chaitanya and said, you know, they started chanting Harinam to him. And he came into external consciousness. Now please understand, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting the highest, intensest, most intimate form of samadhi, total absorption in divine consciousness. But this person could not understand. He thought it was something material. That is one of the reasons why great personalities restrain their ecstatic symptoms, even if they have them, from ordinary people. Or even devotees who aren't on the level to really understand them. Because people misinterpret. Or it could simply be for the purpose of just getting cheap followers. So this Brahmin came running into a large assembly of other students. They said, "What's happened to you? You're so tired. You're perspiring all over your body and you're out of breath. What's happened?" And the Brahmin boy said to all the other Brahmins, he said, "You are asking this question? You should see what happened to me. I'm lucky to be alive. I went to Nimai's house and he's singing gopi, 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 day and night, gopi, gopi, gopi." I told him, "This is not according to the Shastra. You're not going to get pious credits chanting gopi. Chant Krishna." And then he picked up a stick and chased me and blasphemed Krishna. I cannot put in my mouth the words that he said. But I can say one thing, that I'm lucky to be here talking to you today. Because please understand, Nimai was very big. He was very tall. He was very beautiful. His arms extended below his knees. Everyone wanted him to be embraced by him, but to be hit by a stick. So all the other Brahmins, they were very materialistic and very egoistic. They began very angry to say terrible things against Lord Chaitanya. He would say, "Who does he think he is to chase a Brahmin with a stick? Does he think he's some sort of a king? Does he think he's our master? We're also Brahmins. He may be the son of Jagannath Mishra, but our fathers are also great scholars and pundits. They are not ordinary people. What right does he have to do this? If ever he does anything similar again, we will punish him. We will give him a good thrashing. And then they made a conspiracy to spread the rumors of Lord Chaitanya's misbehavior all over Navadvip Dham to discredit him. And a conspiracy to physically punish him. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his previous incarnation, he manifested the Virat Rupa, the universal form. He was Lord Narasingadev, Lord Varahadev. Is he afraid of some Brahmins? He went home and sat down, began to contemplate. That I descended into this world for the purpose of giving love of God through the medicine of the holy name to all the people. But now I see that the opposite is happening. If people blaspheme me, if people disrespect me, because I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're going to have to suffer terribly. Because of me, I must think of a way in which I can somehow or other get these same envious, arrogant people to offer their obeisances to me with respect. And when they do that, then by my grace, I will be able to give bhakti and prema to them. In the society, everyone offers respectful obeisances to a sannyasi. Now, being a householder, they just think I'm one of them. I'm one of the people of Navadvip. I'm the son of Jagannath Mishra. I'm Sachi. I'm the husband of Vishnupriya. Some are thinking I am their nephew. Some are thinking that I'm their friend, that I'm their fellow student. They're seeing me in a very ordinary way. But if I take sannyas, if I give up everything for the sake of Krishna, then even those people will bow down to me. I will have a danda. I will have a begging bowl. And I will go house to those who hate me, to those who are envious, and those who blaspheme me. And they will bow down, and I will give them Krishna prema. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, I will become a sannyasi. One day, Lord Chaitanya was sitting with his devotees. A small circle of his very confidential associates. And he spoke words that shook their hearts to the very core. Only one person could understand what he was talking about. Would you like to hear those words? Yeah. Out of nowhere, he says, I have come to give the medicine Pipali Khanda, to reduce the excess mucus due to their disease. But what I see is happening is the mucus and the disease is increasing. And then Lord Chaitanya began to laugh very loud. The devotees were looking at each other. What is he talking about? Pipali Khanda, medicine, mucus, disease. But Nityananda Prabhu understood the Lord's heart. At this very moment, he didn't say anything. He became stunned. His heart cracked open. And he thought to himself, my beloved Lord is going to leave us and become a sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then took Nityananda Prabhu to a secluded place and revealed his heart. The Lord said that I have come to deliver the fallen souls of this Kali Yuga. But now, just the opposite is happening. It appears that I have come to destroy them all. I have come to send them, I have come to sever the rope of material bondage from these people. But now I see that since I'm here, they are bound by millions and millions of ropes. Tomorrow, Nityananda, I'm going to shave my head. I'm going to take a begging bowl and I'm going to become a sannyasi. And then all these people who are against me, they will bow down to me. And in doing so, they will be relieved of their sins. And then, by my grace, I will give them pure bhakti. Deliver them. Nityananda Prabhu, I can only do this if you give me your permission. But you know why we have descended into this world. You know what our mission is. Please give me your permission to become a sannyas. And I know you will, because you know my heart. When Nityananda Prabhu heard this, he was speechless. It was unbearable to him. Lord Chaitanya shaving his head, leaving his widowed mother, his young wife, leaving Navadvip forever in the drab rags of a sannyasi living in the forest. It was unbearable. But Nityananda Prabhu, he didn't know what to say. But then he spoke. He said, my Lord, whatever you wish will be fulfilled. You are the independent Supreme Personality of God. Who could forbid you from doing anything? You know what is to be done and what is not to be done. And whatever you do is for the ultimate benefit for all living beings. In your heart is the highest spiritual truth and the highest compassion for everyone. But please, my Lord, tell your idea to the devotees before doing it and see what they have to say. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He got Lord Nityananda's permission. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Nityananda while he was smiling in great joy, embraced him again and again and again. And then he went to go tell the other devotees. As soon as Lord Chaitanya left Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Prabhu thought about Sachi Devi. What will happen to Mother Sachi when her son leaves? He fell unconscious. Then he woke up and went to a secluded place where nobody was around to see him or hear him. And there, for many hours, he wept incessantly, thinking about the crushing pain that would come upon Mother Sachi when Lord Chaitanya leaves her forever. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then went to the place of Mukunda Dutt. Mukunda Dutt offered his obeisances. Lord Chaitanya was very jubilant. He said, "Mukunda, sing about Krishna." And Mukunda began to sing very sweet kirtan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and singing. And then he became sober. And in a very happy mood, he said, "Mukunda, please hear me. I am going to renounce my householder life. I am going to shave my head, and I'm going to travel through the forests as a sannyasi." Suddenly, all of Mukunda Dutt's happiness was vanquished. He became speechless, and he fell to the ground unconscious. This is the nature of the love of these devotees for Lord Chaitanya. Now, in your lives, what bad news makes you unconscious? This was their intense love. Mukunda got up and he said, "My Lord Gauranga, if this is what you wish, then this is what you will do. But please stay a few more days and have Nam Sankirtan with us." Lord Chaitanya, very happy, he embraced him and went to the place of Gadadhar. Now, Gadadhar is known for being very mild and very patient. And there's that beautiful story later on in Puri where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was really, really treating Gadadhar very harshly and apparently even unfair, but Gadadhar just accepted it. That, "My Lord, whatever way you want to treat me, I am your servant. Whatever makes you happy, that is fine." That was Gadadhar's nature. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gadadhar and said, "I will shave my head and leave my home." Gadadhar, it was like a thunderbolt crashed right on top of his head. He was practically paralyzed. And then he just couldn't contain himself. He said, "Your words are very, very strange. Where in the scripture does it tell that one has to leave his wife and his mother and his family to become a sannyasi to attain Krishna? Where does it say that? Is this a religious principle? Do you think you will attain Krishna just merely shaving your head?" Why not remain in householder life and be an example to the human population? The Vedas do not support your ideas. And how? How can you abandon your mother? She's a widow. She has no support. She has nothing but you. If you take sannyas, the first thing that you will accomplish is you will be the cause of the death of your own mother, and you will be fully responsible for Sachi Devi's death. Gadadhar said, but you're the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, so do whatever you want to do. Now for Gadadhar Pandit to speak like that to the Lord was a very, very, very deeply profound emotional state. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain it to some of his devotees. At that time, a great saint named Keshav Bharati Maharaj came to Navadvip. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him and invited him to his home. And Keshav Bharati Maharaj was very, very pure, great soul. Lord Chaitanya served him very humbly. And in seclusion, Lord Chaitanya talked to Keshav Bharati. He said, you are a saint. You have Krishna. I want Krishna. I want Krishna so bad. Please give me Krishna. I want to become like you. I want to be in your dress. Please award me unconditional service to Krishna and initiate me as a sannyasi. Keshav Bharati looked at Lord Gauranga. He saw his ecstatic symptoms. And because he was such an elevated devotee, he could understand. And he spoke, you are the Supreme Lord. You are the guru of everyone. And you want me to be your guru? Whatever is your desire, I am your servant. Then Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought Keshav Bharati to Srivas Thakur's house and told Srivas, please take very nice care of him. The next day Keshav Bharati left Navadvip to return to Kantak Nagar or Katwa. When Lord Chaitanya heard he left, he felt very sad in his heart. Now poor Sachi Devi, when she saw Lord Chaitanya talking to this sannyasi in her house, that very much alarmed her heart. Why? Because Vishwarup, at one time he was always with the Dvaitacharya and the devotees, doing Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan, and he lost all his interest in everything of this world, and he left her and took sannyas. And Sachi Mata was very much worried, because Lord Chaitanya was now constantly, practically all day and all night, he was with Srivas and Advaita and the devotees doing Nam Kirtan. At one time, she was very worried that what Advaita did to Vishwarup, Advaita is going to do to my other son, my only other son, Nimai. What will I do if he leaves? But see, if Sachi Mata saw how much Lord Chaitanya enjoyed Navadvip and enjoyed Kirtan with all of his friends and associates and devotees, she was thinking he will never leave. And his wife was sweet and beautiful like an angel. But when Sachi Mata saw the Lord talking confidentially to Keshav Bharati Maharaj, a sannyasi, suspicions began to stir in her heart. And soon the devotees, they were hearing about Lord Chaitanya's plan. At one time, Lord Chaitanya was talking again at Srivas Thakur's house. He was talking to the devotees about his plan to take sannyas. And he said that, please, you should be happy that I'm doing this. Just like a businessman, he will go out, he will leave his home, he will travel to other places, he'll make a lot of money, and then he'll bring it back and share it with all his relatives, and everyone's happy. So I'm going to take sannyas because I'm searching for the treasure of love of Krishna. And when I gain that treasure of love of Krishna, I'm going to come back and share it with all of you. So be happy. And Srivas replied, you're going to go out, but who are you going to share your treasure with? Because when you come back, we will all be dead. We cannot live without you. You've completely attracted and completely conquered our hearts. We are yours. To live a moment without seeing you is difficult. And then Mukunda Dutt, he was telling that you appear to be so kind. Your heart appears to be so soft. But that's all external. Internally, it's very hard. How could you leave us like this? How could you abandon us after we've sacrificed everything only for you? Your heart is like a big pot of poison that's covered with a thin layer of fresh milk. It looks like something beautiful to drink, but when you drink it, how you suffer. Your heart is like a sweetmeat made out of wood, covered with a thin layer of sweet, aromatic camphor. Smells so good and it looks so good, but when you try to bite it, how could you break our hearts? How could you be so cruel to your mother and to your wife and to all your friends and the devotees and the whole place of Navadweep? Then Murari Gupta revealed his heart. He said, you are like an expert gardener. You sowed the seeds of bhakti within all of our hearts. And for all of these years, you have been watering that seed, nourishing that seed. And now it has come to the point where all of our hearts have become like trees. And you've made it like that. You have grown this magnificent tree. And you've put colorful, decorative, priceless jewels all around the trunk of that tree. And now, just when that tree is about to bear fruits, you are suddenly going to cut it down. When you leave, there will be no one left to meet you. Lord Chaitanya said to his devotees, why are you speaking to me like this? I'm longing for Krishna. I'm yearning for Krishna. And I want to give Krishna to the world. Then Lord Chaitanya told them all. He saw that they were in so much distress. He wanted to pacify their hearts. And he said, please know, I will never leave you. I cannot leave you. You have conquered my heart. My love is for you always. I can never leave you. Even after I take sannyas, very soon we will be together again, chanting and dancing in kirtan, enjoying Krishna Katha, enjoying loving relationships. I cannot give you up. And I'm always with you. I have descended into this world in two forms. As the holy name, I manifest wherever my devotees gather together to chant and kirtan. And I have descended as the holy deity. Whenever you worship the deity with devotion, whenever you come together to chant the holy names, I will personally be there with you, and you will feel me, and you will see me. This is my promise. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Mukunda, let us have kirtan. And he was having such wonderful kirtans that all the devotees, every one of them, practically forgot about his taking sannyas. The Lord mesmerized them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told them to teach the world for the sake of humanity and all of their suffering. I must do this. But birth after birth after birth, you are my associates. We will never be separated. Gradually, Satchimata was hearing rumors. And every time she heard anything on this subject, it burned her heart. She became practically delirious. It was unbearable, but she was hearing it again and again, that Nimai Pandit is going to leave home to be a sannyasi. One day, Lord Gauranga saw that his mother was constantly weeping tears. He took note that for many days she did not eat and she did not sleep. But she wouldn't say a word. Then Gauranga Mahaprabhu approached her. Sachi Devi was suffering from a pain that she never knew before. She lost 8 daughters. Please try to understand this. The difficulty of Sachi Devi's life and how totally dependent she was on Lord Gauranga. When a woman who really deeply wants to be a mother, who longs to have a child, has a miscarriage, it's traumatic. It's quite devastating. Oftentimes it leads to serious depression. But much more painful than a miscarriage is when you give birth to a beautiful child, a daughter, a lovely, lovely daughter that Sachi Devi lovingly carried within her womb for 9 months. Then the child is born. And she gives her heart and her motherly love to that child. And that beautiful little infant
dies in her hands.
Those of you who are mothers, can you feel the pain of Sachi Devi?
Eight consecutive daughters.
That means for about 10 years continuously,
eight consecutive daughters died right after birth.
Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi were feeling deep pain. And they performed puja to their Damodar Shila in order to have a son to offer to him, or a child, whatever it would be, a child to offer to him. And then an expansion of Lord Nityananda Prabhu was born to them in the as Vishwarup. And Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra, unlike most parents, once they get what they want from God, then they don't have to worship God so much anymore. They increase their devotional service to their Shalagram Shiva to show their gratitude.
Can you imagine the firstborn living son, Vishwarup, how dear he was to Sachi Devi?
And as far as we know, he was just a teenager. He was spotless in character. He was obedient, respectful to all. Just the kind of son that absolutely conquers the hearts of his parents. And without saying a word to them, in the middle of one night, he just left home and took sannyas and never communicated with them again for the rest of his life. And we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, how Sachi Devi suffered. How she wept and cried. And even Nimai was uncontrollably weeping and crying when Vishwarup left. Now, Krishna tells in Gita, for one who is learned, for one who has realized, they do not lament for living or dead. So why all this crying when people are dying? Crying and dying. This is not material. These tears are divine tears. Because Sachi Devi, Jagannath Mishra, Nimai, they understand that the soul is eternal. They understand that these eight little girls or Vishwarup taking sannyas, that these souls are eternal. But because of the connection we have to Krishna through these relationships as Vaishnavas, they are so deep and so sacred and so special. When a Vaishnava dies, it's a celebration. But it's also a time of pathetic separation. But that pathetic separation, because it's based on truth, it's based on knowledge, it elevates our consciousness, it increases our love, it increases our eternal relationship with that person and with Krishna, who we are loving through a Vaishnav. So the tears of separation between Vaishnavas, when it's based on knowledge and truth, is one of the most elevated and one of the most purifying of all spiritual experiences. But when we misconceive that this person is the body and the body is gone and now I cry, there's no benefit to those tears. Because it's not based on truth. So she lost her eldest beloved son, Vishwarup. And then a couple years later, Jagannath Mishra departs from this world to return to the spiritual abode. Sachi Devi, we were narrating last night how she was affected by Jagannath Mishra's departure. She's a widow. She's lost her 8 daughters. She's lost her eldest son. All she has left in her entire life is Nimai. But Nimai's beauty, his charm, and his love give her so much happiness. It's all she has. After Jagannath Mishra left, 5 minutes of not seeing Nimai and she would be feeling intense pangs of separation. From a social perspective, who will support her? According to scholars, she was 67 years old. She was an elder lady. And the whole responsibility of Vishnupriya as a widow is going to be on Sachi Devi. How is she going to survive? And from an emotional, spiritual point of view, Nimai, her son, was the exclusive sole proprietor of her heart. She never experienced such pain in her entire life as she did when she heard the rumor that Nimai was going to leave home. She was white in complexion due to paleness. She couldn't eat, she couldn't sleep. All she could do was worry and cry. And she couldn't even talk to anyone about it. Every now and then she'd go from little house to house, shop to shop, asking people as if she was a madwoman, "Is it true that my son is going to leave me? Is it true? Is it true?" And nobody knew what to tell her. But in their home, Lord Gauranga approached Sachi. Seeing her state, a major part of her life, she was unconscious due to the thought. And Lord Chaitanya asks her, "Mother, what is wrong with you?" And Sachi Devi speaks. "O Gauranga," she began, "please do not go away from me. Please do not go. My dear son, the only happiness I have is gazing at your beautiful face. That is the only thing in the world that keeps me alive. When I see your eyes, which are like blooming lotus petals, and I see your face, which is radiant like a golden moon, and your lips, which are red and beautiful, shining in the moonlight and the sunlight. Your teeth are like pearls or fine blossom jasmine flowers. When you speak, your words are like a stream of nectar that give me life and hope and unlimited joy. When I see you walk, It is with such grace, like an elephant. How? How will I remain alive if you leave me all alone? Please be happy. You have so many friends here in Navadvip. There is Advaita and Nityananda, Srivas, Mukunda, Murari, Haridas. They are all your friends. They love you and you love them. You're so happy performing Nam Sankirtan at the house of Chandrasekhar, at the house of Srivas, in the streets and in the forests, in the fields of Navadvip. Please stay with your friends. Bring them happiness and enjoy. You have descended into this world. You have descended into this world to teach true religion. How will you teach the world by abandoning a helpless, widowed mother? Is that your idea of how you're going to be an acharya and teach the world religious principles? Your elder brother, Vishwarup, he left me. Your father, he returned to Vaikuntha. But when I see you, I forget every misery of this world. When I see you, there is only happiness and joy. If you go, I will give up my life. And Nimai, O Gauranga, what about your wife, Vishnupriya? She's hardly 15 years old. She knows nothing and no one but you. What will become of her life? And what will become of my life? She will be a widow. Her heart will be devastated. She'll know nothing but suffering. As for me, I'm 67 years old. I will suffer for a few years and die. But what about Vishnupriya? She's a teenage girl. She's going to have to suffer this broken heart, live in tragedy for the rest of her long life. And you are offering me, your mother, the responsibility to take care of her, to maintain her. You are putting around my neck the sufferings of Vishnupriya in addition to my own. Nimai, just do kirtan with Nityananda Prabhu and be happy. Everyone will be happy. You have already conquered and attracted the hearts of all of Navadvip. You have hundreds and thousands, millions of followers. If you take sannyas, you leave forever. What suffering and pain will you cause them? Is that religion? Please, Nimai, do not go. Sachimata spoke these words, and ultimately she fell to the ground, collapsed, weeping uncontrollably, her heart heaving in pain as she muttered her last words, "I will give up my life." As she wept and she trembled, she said, "Nimai, I will take poison
and end my life so that I will never have to hear the news that you have taken sannyas and left my home. I will not survive hearing about that. Lord Gauranga gazed at her with such deep love, gratitude, and affection. He said, "My mother, I will never leave you. You are my mother, birth after birth after birth. I will reveal to you the truth. In a previous lifetime, you were Prishni, and I became your son, Prishni Garba. And in another birth, you were Aditi, and I became your son, Vamanadev. And then in your next birth, you became Devahuti. And I was your son again as Kapiladev. You appeared in this world as Kaushalya. And I was your beloved son, Ramchandra. In the city of Ayodhya. And then in Mathura, in that prison house of Kamsa, you were Devaki, and I again became your son as Krishna. And in Gokul, you are Yashoda, and I was your Gopal. And now again I have become your son. I am eternally your son. We can never be apart. My mother, you are the earth goddess, the goddess of the earth, and I appear as your son in the form of the worshipable deity. And as the earth goddess, you appear as the tongues of the devotees. And I'm born from you in the form of the tongue of the devotees whenever they sincerely chant the holy names. My dear mother, my love for you and your love for me is eternal. And I promise you this, that whenever you think of me, you will see me within your heart. Whenever you cook for me, you will feel my presence taking the prasadam you have prepared. I will not abandon you. But for the sake of the suffering humanity, I must do this. Please give me your permission. And Sachi Devi gave her permission because she was enchanted by all this wisdom and knowledge that Nimai was giving her. But as soon as she finished giving her permission, she fell to the ground crying again. Vishnupriya, the wife of the Lord, the daughter of Sanatan Mishra, she was at her father's house, and she happened to hear these rumors about Lord Gorsundar taking sannyas. So she rushed back to the house of Sachi Devi
And there she saw the lamentable, pitiable condition of her mother-in-law, Sachi Devi. Her hair was in disarray. Her body was emaciated and pale, and she was constantly crying, and she couldn't talk to anyone. She went into the room, and she found Nimai sleeping. She went to the foot of his bed, and with her tender, lotus-like hands, she's the goddess of fortune, she massaged Nimai's lotus feet very softly. And tears were pouring from her eyes. And in her heart, she was feeling that, is it right? There is so much suffering all over the world, and I alone am enjoying unlimited, unending happiness. Is that right? But then the thought of not having her husband, it was unbearable. She was gazing at his beautiful moon-like face as he was sleeping. And she was so happy. For a few minutes, she was so happy. She was thinking to herself, I never get to look at my husband's face for such a long period of time. He's always, all night, he's always at Srivas's house doing kirtan. And all day, he's with the devotees. But then again, it struck her. He's going to leave home. And tears were showering from her lotus-like eyes. And some of those tears fell onto the lotus feet of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And he woke. And in a very innocent way, he said, Vishnu Priya, why are you sad? Why are you crying? I am here. Vishnu Priya said, I have heard that you are going to take sannyas, that you're going to leave home. My heart is crushed. I feel like the only thing I can do is enter into fire and give up my life. My life is meant only for you. Without you, nothing has any value. Whatever beauty I have, whatever chastity I have, whatever desires I have, my body, my words, my life, everything belongs to you. Everything is for you. If you leave me, everything's finished. I've given my heart to you. Will you leave me? Your feet are so soft that I'm afraid to press them too hard because they turn red. How could I bear the thought of your feet as a sannyasi treading through forests with stones and rocks and thorns? And your face, it's so delicate. So beautiful, like a golden moon. How could I bear the thought of your beautiful face exposed to forest life, being slashed by monsoons and scorched by blazing summer sun? And what about your mother? She's old and she's weak. She knows nothing. Nothing but you. She will die. And what about your devotees? They are so dear to you. How could you possibly leave them all to die? Vishnupriya wept tears that deeply affected Lord Chaitanya's heart. And with deep affection, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to her. He told her that this world, everything is temporary. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, we have relationships. And by the arrangement of destiny, those relationships are inevitably broken. That is the nature of this world. The only eternal truths are Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Krishna is the soul of all souls. If we find Krishna in our heart, it is that Krishna who is the person we love in all the people of this world. Your name is Vishnupriya, very dear to Lord Vishnu. Worship Lord Krishna. Chant Krishna's names. Always be in the association of devotees. Man is born, woman is born, and they grow through childhood, through adolescence, old age, and ultimately, everyone must die. Materialistic people, they work so hard, they give their hearts, their lives, and in the end, so many regrets. Birth after birth after birth. Absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness. And I promise you, we will never be separated. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested a four-arm form of Lord Narayan to Vishnupriya. And she saw that form. And she realized that he is the Lord of my life. He's the Paramatma, the super soul dwelling within my heart. But still, her love for him as a wife superseded. And she fell at his feet. Lord Chaitanya said to Vishnupriya, that we are united forever. Nothing can separate us. If you are worshiping Krishna and I am worshiping Krishna, we are always together. Then Vishnupriya expressed the deepest sentiment of her heart. She said, "Do not, my dear Gauranga, please do not be cruel to Sachi Devi. If you leave your mother, not only will she be totally devastated, but people will speak ill of you. I can understand now that I am an obstacle on your spiritual progress. I promise you this,
From this day on, I will go to live with my father. You will never see me again. Or I will drink poison and take my life. I will not be an obstruction to you. But please, stay home with your mother. Do not cause her this suffering. I beg you, I beseech you. Lord Chaitanya said to Vishnupriya, please understand my mission. Vishnupriya, I ask you, do not be selfish. Throughout the world, humanity is suffering. I am taking sannyas to give them the joys of Krishna consciousness. Give me permission to do so. And I promise you, whenever you think of me, whenever you chant my names, you will see me personally within your heart. That is my love for you, and that is your love for me. Vishnupriya, she said to the Lord, my Lord, you are the independent Lord of all. According to your sweet will, please do whatever pleases you. I will not obstruct you. No one will obstruct you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, conquer the hearts of his devotees. And our acharyas teach us that the incessant tears of Sachidevi, the incessant tears of Vishnupriya, and the tears of all the devotees in Navadweep, those tears of separation by the Lord's own will were meant to wash away the sins, wash away the darkness of ignorance of the whole world, so that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could freely travel and reach even the most difficult people to reach and give them Krishna Prem through Krishna Naam. Should I continue? The day approached. Lord Chaitanya approached Lord Nityananda Prabhu and told him that very soon, when the sun enters into the northern direction, I am going to Kantak Nagar, and there I will take sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj. Please tell 5 people, no one else, and have them meet me there in Katwa. Chandrasekhar, Mukundadat, Gadadhar, Jagadananda Pandit, some say Damodar Pandit, and yourself. And also tell my mother.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that his leaving was going to cause such a devastation to his devotees that for the next days he continuously performed the most blissful kirtan so that everyone forgot that he was going to take sannyas except Vishnupriya and Sachi Devi. They knew it, but it couldn't remain in their hearts because seeing Lord Chaitanya's happiness was so wonderful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed, there is no greater happiness in all the 14 worlds than for devotees to come together to lovingly chant the holy names. I think we should go to Damodarastakam now, and we will continue day after tomorrow. Is everyone here the day after tomorrow? Please raise your hands if you will be here. Please raise your hands if you will not be here. Maybe Krishna's protecting all of you. So I'm very grateful to all of you for your patience. And tomorrow, we will be celebrating Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. The most holy of all holy days for all of us. When a great Vaishnava appears within this world, very few, if anybody, really knows how great they are. But when they disappear, the legacy, the history of their pastimes, their compassion is known to all. For us, it is a day of deep separation. For those who loved Srila Prabhupada, when he left this world, it was something like when Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip. But as Lord Chaitanya promised, that I'll always be with you when you think of me, Srila Prabhupada promised the same thing, that I would live forever in the hearts of those who sincerely follow my instructions. Prabhupada taught us he's in his books personally. He's in the hearts of those devotees we associate with who are dedicated to serving his grace. He's within his instruction, especially when we sincerely and humbly chant the holy names and preach his message and serve his devotees. But the feeling of separation, we have been taught by Lord Chaitanya and our acharyas, is the means by which feeling those separation, those tears and anguish of separation from the Lord and Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, is the deepest connection of union with them. Tomorrow, in this spirit that we are speaking about,
of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotee separation from him. Tomorrow is the day when we celebrate that divine feeling of separation, to long to be in the company of Srila Prabhupada, to offer our deepest, most profound gratitude for all he's given us and all he's giving us and all he'll give us forever if we just remain faithful to him. It's a day specially set aside to put our complete energy and our complete heart into offering our gratitude to Srila Prabhupada and our feelings of love and separation. So please, by expressing that gratitude and love for Prabhupada, considering the great sacrifices he has made for us, there is no greater way of pleasing Radharani and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, left his home to wander the world as a mendicant to give love of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada took sannyas for the exact same purpose. He left his home of Vrindavan at the Radha Damodar temple in Seva Kunj. He left his home to go to Bombay as a beggar, begging for the chance to be an instrument of compassion for the whole world. And he got that ticket on that cargo ship and boarded the Jaladuta. And in America, he had nothing. He had no one. In the spirit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was the crest jewel of all sannyasis, giving Krishna prema through Krishna Nam. And it is that sacrifice of Lord Chaitanya, and in Parampara, the same sacrifice of Srila Prabhupada, that is our only qualification. It is with this gratitude that we may celebrate Prabhupada's disappearance day tomorrow. And the day after, we will continue the narration of Lord Gauranga's sannyas lila. Thank you very much.